Hey, and welcome to Let's Talk CPF, a podcast where we bring conversations on CPF to your ears. Brought to you by the CPF Board, this podcast will answer common questions, offer tips, and feature interviews with industry experts on CPF and financial planning. Thanks for listening, and let's get straight into today's episode.
What is job hopping? Well, you get a salary increase every time you switch jobs. Now, what exactly are the benefits and drawbacks of job hopping? In today's episode of Let's Talk CPF, we are going to cover that. I'm Andrea, your host for today's episode. I recently came across an article featuring a report from the Ministry of Manpower. It highlighted that even though young people from 25 to 29 years old are still exploring career options, few are making any job moves. But interestingly, 86% are considering a new job this year. Which got me thinking, do people really job hop in this current climate? So I'm excited to have two guests with me here today who come from very different backgrounds. Eric, who is a career coach from NTUC's E2I with over a decade experience in leadership, recruitment, and coaching. As well as Celine, a 31-year-old who is considered a job hopper as she has had 7 jobs within the span of 8 years. Now, we're going to find out what exactly job hopping entails and if this is something which aligns with your own career goals. Welcome, Eric and Celine. It's good to have you on our show today. To kick things off, I need to ask, what exactly is the definition of job hopping?
Thank you, Andrea, for having me here today. Job hopping is a series of frequent short stints in a company, often less than a month.
Now that we have the definition of job hopping, Celine, what has been your longest and your shortest stints so far?
Thanks, Angel. Actually, my longest stint right now would be about 2 years, and the shortest stint, I would say about 1 month.
1 month is a pretty short duration. So what are your reasons for actually quitting?
So usually for the jobs where I've stayed in for shorter stints, right, I tend to quit because of either relationships with the reporting manager, like we don't get along as well, or if there are certain red flags in the company that I see that I feel I shouldn't be staying too long for, I job hop quite a bit because of pay issues. I started off, I would say, on a relatively low pay. So for each job hop that I made, I could easily get quite a bit more money than if I were to stay at the current job scope for the current job for a couple of years. With that in mind, I decided that the fastest way to reach a higher amount of pay was to job hop. But then after a couple of moves, I realized that, you know, like it's actually kind of like an adventure on its own also.
I think that's really good insights. Now, I'd like to ask Eric, because we talked about, you know, mentioning higher pay. From your perspective, Eric, you know, as a career coach, is this true? What are your thoughts?
My thoughts as a career coach are that one actually should not job hop just for higher pay, because it demonstrates a lack of commitment and loyalty to the employer, you know, who is looking to hire you. And that exposes you when immediately on your resume, when you are actually applying for, you know, jobs, and they would actually ask you, so why were you in this job for like just a year and then you moved on to the next job? Unless, you know, there is a valid reason, which also happens, where there are reasons for short stints in someone's resume, and these could be very valid reasons. For example, caregiving duties to one's parents, or it could also be an unfortunate event where, you know, an accident or a chronic illness has happened to the individual, which, you know, makes them leave that job. So these are actually all very valid reasons, which to employers, they would actually be more, I would say, forgiving as opposed to someone who would leave the job for the sake of a higher salary.
Okay, Eric, I want to play devil's advocate because in a way, you guys have very differing opinions. So does the salary increase really apply to different industries per se? Because for me, before joining CPF Board, I came from the private sector in the film and TV industry. And if you're not aware of it, the TV and film industry does not pay well in Singapore. It doesn't matter if you have a degree or whether you have a diploma, you are really paid the same. And climbing up the career ladder doesn't really exist in that sense, lah. So in the early part of my career, I had very, very short stints with very different production companies. But that's how I built my experience over time. And I guess it's considered job hopping. I'm quite curious to know, what you have said, does it really apply to all industries, especially creative industries where the structure is like that? Because at the end of the day, if you know you came from tech, with the same experience, you'll be paid way more as compared to, you know, coming from, I guess, maybe a creative industry.
Yeah, Andrea, thank you so much for sharing your experience. So there are exceptions to the example that you have just given. I had a job seeker who was a full stack developer. He was relatively young and he was actually looking at building up his experiences very much in this field. So he actually went into a role as a entry-level full-stack developer, and all he needed was just, at that point in time, he just needed to have some C++ programming skills. Yeah, but in that role, he actually started to develop a deeper expertise in gaining other technical skills like Python, learning algorithms, learning how to do coding, and this actually increased his market value exponentially. And because of that increase in his expertise, he became very valuable, I would say, commodity to a lot of headhunters and recruiters out there.
That's a really good story. It goes back to what the purpose of job hopping is, right? If let's say you're choosing to switch jobs just for the higher pay, you might not necessarily have the level of skill set that matches the next job. That brings me to my next question, Celine. Based on the previous jobs that you have had, how has it helped you acquire new skills for the next job?
I think in my case, because I have jumped through a few different industries or so, from each job that I have been to, I've taken away different kinds of experience from there. And I find that usually in the following stint that I'm at, right, somehow or rather, there will be opportunities to tap on previous experiences and skill sets that I have acquired from previous jobs. So in a way, I would say that that has actually helped me in my career more so than it has hampered me.
So I want to go back to the topic of salary. I think, you know, this could be dependent on the different kind of industries you're in. So Eric, does job hopping, you know, allow you to increase your salary?
Job hopping does allow someone to, you know, increase their salary and within a very short span of time as well, you know, in acquiring that kind of skill. So let me give you an example. I once had a 30-year-old job seeker client of mine, and he was an accountant. Yeah, he had a very good academic background. And when he graduated, you know, he worked in short stints as an auditor. So it came to a point where last year he came to see me after his third job, and he actually found it extremely difficult to find another job, and that really dampened his confidence and his morale. But he didn't realize that actually he wasn't positioning himself well at the interviews, yeah, because he wasn't able to validate the reasons of which actually he was actually jumping for all the salary increments, yeah. So he was actually unemployed for 6 months. When he came to see me, I actually helped him in terms of doing his full resume review, doing mock interviews with him on how he needed to position his short stints, doing job matching and referrals for him for finance roles, and also how he came across in an interview. But within a short span of time, he actually sent me an email and to thank me for, you know, the career guidance that I provided him, which enabled him to actually land a job with one of the big four accountancy firms.
I think at the end of the day, it goes back to how you position yourself during a job interview. So for you, Celine, has job hopping helped you increase your salary from job to job?
I think in my case, for every job switch that I have made, I have had a pretty decent pay increment each time. So maybe after a while, I would think to myself that this is one way to definitely jump the pay grade a bit higher. And it is probably a lot easier than waiting in the same company for at least 2 to 3 years for each promotion. So I think on average, every year, a person's salary increment would probably fall between the market rate of like 3%, as opposed to if you were to make that jump to go to another role altogether, you can get up to like 20 to 25% each time. So maybe that is really a very good incentive for people to job hop if they feel like the pay growth is stagnating at their current position.
Eric, since you are a career coach and we've been talking about salary, when it comes to salary negotiation, are there any tips you can share with us?
I think it's important to always know your market value and that to demonstrate to the employer that you are looking to, you know, have that salary negotiation discussion with, of letting them know what you can bring to the table. And if you are able to also demonstrate that your personality can also fit the culture of the company, and that, let me stress, that you are also going to be loyal to the company and wanting to stay on, I think that would be a great point, you know, for you to really demonstrate your salary expectations. For instance, you are at 5,500 and you're looking for a $6,000 to $6,500 salary range. So always know what is your baseline. In other words, if you're looking to make that jump, then I would say that you can actually use that range of 6 to 6,005 as a salary range for the employer then to decide that, okay, if they're willing to make that offer, you know, to you.
So Celine, do you think at some point as you advance in your career that it will be harder to job hop?
Actually, I think that's really true. So at the early parts of your career, right, when you job hop, it is probably quite easy to do so because you can easily attribute it to you not having found your actual career path. You are still trying to explore, trying to see what is best suited for yourself. But once you're past a certain age, I would say like maybe 30 and above, or at least mid-30s, that's when you will have to more or less be sure about the career trajectory that you're going. If not, the older you get, the harder it is to be able to find new jobs anymore.
So job hopping in the early part of your career, you know, is really good to try out, but it might potentially be an issue, you know, from your mid-30s or mid-40s. But, you know, I have a question. If, you know, you're in a little part of your career and you want to, you know, grow, upskill or change industries, how do you go about doing it?
First of all, it's always important to know yourself. You know, having the self-awareness to know where your strengths and skills are, that's one of the key things for you to understand how you can harness your role and shine in that. You know, career guidance is one of the tools that we actually use at E2I. That's another area that if you do decide that you need to seek career guidance, all our E2I coaches are more than well equipped to partner you on that journey towards understanding what your career goals are and leading you into that direction of where you want to be and where you need to be.
Which means that I can be in my 20s or my 50s and still see a career coach.
Oh yes, we cater to all job seekers at every career stage. So yes.
Celine, have you seen a career coach before?
Oh, actually I have. I've actually seen a career coach like twice. It's almost like a one-to-one counselling session. It's just that it's focused really on finding your career, right? And then you just treat your career coach as a friend, share with him or her your problems at work or like how else you want to develop certain type of growth in your career, and then he or she will step in to provide advice, which I thought was pretty useful for me lah, personally.
That is interesting because I think when it comes to our mental health, people go for therapy. When it comes to our physical health, people go to the gym. But when it comes to your career, usually the assumption I think people might have is that you go to a career coach only if you want to upskill or change industries and hence you go to them for help. Other than that, you're taught to do it by yourself.
Yes, so like what you mentioned, Andrea, normally someone would want to see a career coach when they want to, you know, have a career switch, right? So one of the things that we actually, as a career coach, we also walk the journey with our clients with is also understanding using a resource like the National Skills Framework, which can be found on the SkillsFuture SG's website, to identify what kind of skills, knowledge, competencies are that are essential for our job seeker to pursue that role. So when they look at all the gaps that they need, they can actually then, you know, make a concerted effort to attend the training programs that will then, you know, enable them to be equipped with right skills and the necessary qualifications to pursue and reach their career goals.
I'm just trying to understand, as your role as a career coach, how then do you guide individuals through job transitions?
Ah, okay. Yes, this is what I do on a daily basis. So our role as a career coach is really to partner each and every one of our clients. There is no one-size-fits-all solutions. Our role is very much supporting each and every job seeker through whatever career transitions they're facing and to equip them with the right employability skills, you know. So whether that is in resume skills, interviews, job search strategies, their own personal branding. So our role is really to help job seekers understand where they are in terms of their current position, where they want to go to, and how do we get there? Yeah, so how do we do this is that we actually sit down with each and every one of our clients, you know, and we have very in-depth discussions that delves into their, I would say, VIPS. So V stands for values, I stands for interests, P stands for personality, and S stands for skills. So through these interactions with our clients, we hope to really create an aha moment, you know, or to at least reignite that spark, you know, that's been missing in their professional journey. And they hopefully that will lead them to find the success that they deserve in their careers.
Eric, all of this sounds great, but career coaching sounds expensive.
Our career coaching is, let me tell you the great news, it's complimentary. So as long as you're a Singaporean or Singapore PR, please book your career coaching appointment with us because it is complimentary and all our workshops also are complimentary based on the interventions of the coach. When you see a coach, your career coach will then guide you and help you to navigate whatever barriers you may be facing in your current circumstances and help you to lead you on that path to your career success and progression.
One final question. Is there anything else people should take note of before they decide to jump into another role?
Something that they should take note of is that if they are making that change into the new role, it should be for a sense of growth in the person, no matter what. So even if there is a lateral shift in the job scope, there should always be a sense of growth that the job seeker can take away from that. Probably in developing skills in another industry, for example, or to further deepen his or her skills in the same industry but have a wider breadth of experiences in that particular role that he or she is in.
Do your research. Always start with your research. You know, that is one of the most key things that you owe it to yourself to do. Assess yourself, know more about where you want to go, understand the environment, the people, understanding how's the career progression like, and really do a realistic stock take of the pros and cons, you know, of the decision that you intend to make, and whether can you afford to do so, you know, to take that leap of faith. Understand where your current social and financial situation is and whether it allows you to even venture there. If you're really unsure of making that leap of faith and you're stuck in a rut, really come and speak to a career coach because, like I shared earlier, all of us are, you know, very well trained to help our clients. We have a brand new career center right in the heart of the CBD area in One Marina Boulevard at Raffles Place.
Thank you so much, Eric, for sharing your valuable insights on navigating career transitions and Celine for candidly sharing your experiences as a job hopper. I too learned a lot today about the nuances of job hopping and its impact on career development, and I believe that this will help you better chart your career path. I'm Andrea, and you've been listening to Let's Talk CPF.
Before you go, we would love to hear from you. Email us with your questions or comments at podcast@cpf.gov.sg so we can create better content for you. You can also leave us a review on the platform you're listening from to help others learn about our podcast. For the latest news, visit cpf.gov.sg/podcast or follow our social media pages. Thank you once again. Until the next time, let's talk CPF.